जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर 7 द पुराणिक लिटरेचर्स टेक्स्ट 19 एंड 20 सो विल रिसाइट टेक्स्ट 19 व्यति रेकान्वयो यस्य जाग्रत स्वप्न सुषुप्तिषु मायामयेषु तद्ब्रह्म जीववृत्तिष्वपाश्रयः व्यतिरेकान्वयो यस्य जाग्रत स्वप्न सुषुप्तिषु मायामयेषु तद्ब्रह्म जीववृत्तिष्वपाश्रयः व्यतिरेकान्वयो यस्य जाग्रत स्वप्न सुषुप्तिषु मायामयेषु तद्ब्रह्म जीववृत्तिष्वपाश्रयः जाग्रत स्वप्न सुषुप्तिषु मायामयेषु तद्ब्रह्म जीववृत्तिष्वपाश्रयः व्यतिरेकान्वयो यस्य जाग्रत स्वप्न सुषुप्तिषु मायामयेषु तद्ब्रह्म जीववृत्तिष्वपाश्रयः व्यतिरेकान्वयो यस्य जाग्रत स्वप्न सुषुप्तिषु मायामयेषु तद्ब्रह्म जीववृत्तिष्वपाश्रय व्यतिरेक द प्रेजेंस हैज सेपरेट अन्वयः एंड एज कॉन्जॉइंट यस्य ऑफ विच जाग्रत within waking consciousness, swapna, sleep, Sushuptishu and deep sleep. Maya Mayeshu, within the products of the illusory energy. Tat, that. Brahma, the absolute truth. Jiva Vrittishu, within the functions of the living entities. Apashrayaha, the unique shelter. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Absolute Truth is present throughout all the stages of awareness, waking consciousness, sleep and deep sleep, throughout all the phenomena manifested by the illusory energy and within the functions of all living entities. And He also exists separate from all these. Thus situated in His own transcendence, He is the ultimate and unique shelter. We'll read text 20 also. There's no purport here. Padartheshu yatha dravyam sanmatram rupanamasu bijadi panchatantasu hi avasthasu yutayutam. Translation. Although a material object may assume various forms and names, its essential ingredient is always present as the basis of its existence. Similarly, both conjointly and separately, the Supreme Absolute Truth is always present with the created material body throughout its phases of existence, beginning with conception and ending with death. Purport. Moist clay can be molded into various shapes and named water pot, flower pot, and storage pot. Despite the various names and forms, the essential ingredient, earth, is constantly present. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is present throughout a material body's stages of bodily existence. The Lord is identical with material nature, being its ultimate generating source. At the same time, the unique Supreme Being exists separately, aloof in His own abode. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guron Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll read the translation. The Supreme Absolute Truth is present throughout all stages of awareness, waking consciousness, sleep and deep sleep, throughout all the phenomena manifested by the illusory energy and within the functions of all living entities, and He also exists separate from all these. Thus situated in His own transcendence, He is the ultimate and unique shelter. So this beautiful section of the Bhagavatam, we are hearing the narration of the characteristics of the Puranic literatures, and we have been seeing how there are the major Puranas and there are the lesser ones. The major Puranas discuss 10 major topics and the lesser Puranas, they discuss 5 topics. And how the living entity is the cause of the creation, the maintenance and annihilation of the entire material existence. That is also explained in this particular chapter. And this particular verse describes how the Supreme Absolute Truth is present through all these different places. Maya Mayeshu is present within the products of illusory energy. Jeeva Vrittishu, within the functions of the living entity. Avasthasu Yuta Yutam, within the created material body throughout its phases of existence. And the conclusion of these two verses that we are discussing today, these two verses basically highlight that how, because of the omnipotent and omnipresent nature of the Supreme Lord, He is the ultimate and unique shelter for all living beings. So this condition of the living entity in the material world has been very beautifully described by Lord Rishabhdev in his teachings to his sons. And very succinctly, Lord Rishabhdev is saying, Lokah swayam shreyasi nashtadrishtir yoarthan samihetani kama kamah anyona vairah sukhadleshahetor ananta dukkham chanaveda moodha. So Lord Rishabhdev is speaking to his sons, due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his real self-interest, the auspicious path in life. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires, and all his plans are made for this purpose. For temporary sense gratification, such a person creates a society of envy. And due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. Such a foolish person does not even know about this. So Lord Rishabhdev is herein mentioning that how, because of, you know, having these selfish desires for material enjoyment, how the living entity knowingly plunges himself into an ocean of suffering, but he doesn't even know that. And being situated inside that ocean of suffering, the living entity is sad and is sulking, and he's trying his best to get out of his, you know, to seek some shelter to get out of this ocean of suffering. But then his repeated seeking of this shelter is based in his own material capabilities, in his own material resources that he has, and the material relationships that the living entity has in this world. Based on these, you know, so-called flimsy shelters, the living entity is wanting to get out of the ocean of material existence. And sometimes, by some good fortune, it might happen that such a conditioned soul, such a living entity in the material world, might realize that by my own endeavor, it might not be possible for me to get out of this ocean of suffering. Maybe I need help. And in order to seek that help, the living entity might resort to the scriptures. So the scriptures, they present many options to the living entity. Okay, you are in a state of suffering. So the scriptures present different options, how you can get out of this suffering nature. So today in our discussion, we'll be seeing a bit of a conversation between the conditioned soul who is sad and sulking in the material, sinking in the ocean of material existence, completely morose, and he is being approached by the scriptures. The scriptures are offering him, you know, some options. Okay, how can you get out of this situation? So first the scriptures offer him the solution. Okay, you are sad, you know, you are feeling dejected. Why don't you try performing some dharmic activities, perform some dharma, some religious activities? So, okay, the living entity, you know, he starts performing some dharmic principles, some, you know, puja part and all those things. But still that suffering due to material, you know, engagement is still present. So then the scriptures present, okay, why don't you earn some money? Dharma, first the dharma part was suggested, but still doesn't look like it was working. So then artha is being suggested by the shastras. So again, the living entity starts earning money, lot of money. If you have money, you know, money is honey in this world. You can purchase anything. You can get any enjoyment and maybe you will be out of suffering. But even because of artha, the purpose is not fulfilled. So then kama, why don't you try out some sense gratification? Okay, that is also done. But again, being frustrated with dharma, artha, kama, person might start aspiring for liberation. But even the path of liberation, even the path of moksha is very, very difficult. So the dejection, the sulking nature of the living entity is still present. And that is when the scriptures, they present the ultimate, you know, option to the living entity. Okay, why don't you take shelter of Krishna? So this might sound very interesting because the scriptures say, Panchama Purushartha Premananda Amrita Sindhu Mokshadhi Anandayar Nahi Eka Bindu. The Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that by seeking shelter of Lord Sri Krishna and developing love for Him, this is known as the Panchama Purushartha. And the experience of having this reciprocation from the Supreme Lord doesn't compare anywhere close to the experience derived from dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Moksha adi ananda, dharma, artha, kama and moksha se jo ananda milta hai, moksha adi ananda, yaar nahi ek bindu. All of this, you know, experience doesn't compare even to a drop as compared to the experience that you achieve based on your reciprocation that you receive from the Supreme. So hearing this assurance from the Shastras, the conditioned soul might feel, okay, there is some hope. Maybe, you know, this sounds interesting. So the conditioned soul, okay, tell me more about this person. And that is when the Shastras, they describe the entire profile, they describe the characteristic of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, in detail to the living entity. And we'll be seeing that this can be compared, like in the mundane world, if a person is in need of something and he approaches many options, but then he finally approaches, you know, if I am in need of some particular person to, you know, cater to some of my requests, and I may be trying hard to find a suitable person, but then an employer might approach an HR agency that, okay, I am in need of this particular thing, maybe you have some options. And therefore, you know, the scriptures can be considered as playing the part of such an HR agency, presenting different options. But finally, the Shastras, the HR agency that we are discussing, presents the final, you know, this is the resume that I have for you. This is the best I can offer. And we'll be seeing how the Shastras, they present the curriculum vitae of Krishna, the CV of Krishna. So if you have experienced a CV, the resume, typical resume consists of five different, of course, there's a lot of things, but we'll cover five things. It contains the introduction of the candidate. It contains the qualification of the candidate. It contains the experience of the candidate, where all has the candidate worked before. What is the expectation of the candidate? And finally, some references, you know, is there anyone else also who is referring? So the first, the Shastras, they present the introduction of Krishna. Again, just to recollect, we are discussing, there is a conversation happening between the sad, conditioned soul sunk in the ocean of misery and the Shastras presenting the option of Krishna. So the very first thing is the introduction, how the Shastras, they introduce Krishna. So very beautifully, this introduction is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which says, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Sarvamshi Sarvashray Vishuddha Nirmala Prem Sarva Rasamay. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of all incarnations and the source of everything. He is pure transcendental love itself and He is the reservoir of all pleasure. This is the introduction. Further, it is mentioned, Sakala Sadguna Vrinda Ratna Ratnakar Vidagda Chatura Dhira Rasika Shekhar. So some qualities are being mentioned, that Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. He is like a mine of gems. He is expert at everything, very intelligent and sober, and He is the summit of all transcendental humors. So such an impressive introduction has been presented, so the conditioned soul, you know, feels quite impressive. But then still there is some doubt. What is the doubt of the conditioned soul? The conditioned soul says that he may have all these nice, wonderful qualities that you are mentioning, but is he qualified to mitigate my distressful situation? And to what extent can he help me? And okay, even if he is qualified, will he be around when I'll be in difficulty? I need answers to these questions. I am looking for someone to take shelter of who can help me come out of this miserable situation. But then the conditioned soul is doubting two things. He is doubting the potency of the person to help him, and he is doubting the proximity of the person to help him. Because when we talk about proximity, a physical proximity is very much important to provide shelter. Just like, you know, many of us might have experienced that, you know, when we are walking down the street and all of a sudden it starts raining. So we might have an umbrella, but if the umbrella is not present with us, it doesn't suit the purpose, right? We might have it in our homes, but then we have to have it in close proximity. Only then it can provide us shelter. Similarly, in terms of emotional needs, if we don't have near and dear ones close to us, even though we might be in that emotional disturbance, if there is no one close to us, that emotional disturbance doesn't subside. So yes, proximity is very important. So then the Shastras, they describe that don't you worry. This supreme absolute truth is very potent and he is always in your proximity. And how is the potency of the Supreme Lord described? It is mentioned that when Lord Sri Krishna, he was performing the Rasa dance, it is mentioned that one particular night, it is mentioned that 1,000 ages entered within a single 12-hour night of Lord Brahma. Brahma Ratre Upavritte. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives the analogy. How this can be compared to, he gives three analogies. He mentioned that how this potency of the Supreme Lord can be compared to many universes fitting within the 40-mile radius of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the place that we know today. How different many universes could fit in that small tract of land. How Mother Yashoda couldn't bind child Krishna with unlimited number of ropes. And how the Supreme Lord, the small little child Krishna, he could accommodate all these big universe within his own mouth. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami in Laghu Bhagavatamrit, he compares, Evam Prabhu Priyanam cha Dhamnas cha Samayasya cha Avichintya Prabhavatvad Atra Kinchidna Durghatam. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Nothing is impossible for the Lord, his dear devotees, his transcendental abode, or the time of his pastimes. For all these things are inconceivably powerful. So this is the explanation of the potency that is presented by the Shastras. About the proximity, we refer to the current verses. How these current verses, they exclaim, they describe in detail that how the Supreme is always present throughout all the stages of awareness we saw, through Sushupti, through deep sleep, through other stages of awarenesses. Throughout all the phenomena manifested by the illusory energy within the functions of all living entities, and he also exists separate from all these. For he is always present with the created material body throughout its phases of existence. So Shastras mentioned, even Lord Brahma, the Brahma Samhita mentions, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. The Lord is situated between each and every atom, and even in the space between two atoms. Paramanu Chayantarastham. Do Paramanuyo ke beech mein jo antar rehta hai. No? Even between that space, the Supreme Lord is present. So hearing about the explanation of the potency and proximity of the Supreme, the conditioned soul says, okay, agreed that he is very potent and he'll be there to help me out. But, you know, this but is a very unique feature of the conditioned soul. So again, the conditioned soul has this but. So the conditioned soul now questions again the Shastras. But tell me, he might be very potent and he might always be there to help me, but has he helped anyone else in the past? Those who have sought his shelter? Give me some examples of his helping and merciful nature. One may be very qualified, but does he have the attitude of helping someone who takes his shelter? Why should I be the first one to experiment, right? People always want, you know, has this product been tested before? You know, has this thing been experienced before? So he says, you know, I don't want to take any risks. Has Krishna provided shelter? In other words, he's moving to the part of the experience. Tell me about the experience of Krishna. So that is when the Shastras, they present the experience part of the resume of Krishna. And the Shastras, they describe, we'll discuss this in a bit detail, how Krishna has protected his devotees from economic crisis, from existential crisis, from enemies. He has protected his devotees from embarrassments and also from the entanglement of the material nature. So talking about these different situations, the very first thing that, you know, Krishna has had an experience of saving his devotees from economic crisis. In the Gita, Krishna himself says that four types of people come to me. And one of those four types of people is the artharthi, one who is in need of artha, money. And the Shastras explain that how Dhruv Maharaj is a beautiful example of such an artharthi. He wanted a kingdom greater than that of his father. And for that purpose, he was, like, you know, encouraged by his mother. And we know the episode of Dhruv Maharaj, that how Dhruv Maharaj ultimately ended up getting much more than just a kingdom. And later on, he compares what he desired to be just broken pieces of glass. So yes, Dhruv Maharaj is a good example where Krishna not only saved him from economic crisis, but then that is where Dhruva's desire was explicitly expressed. And Dhruv Maharaj even laments later on that, why did I have such a desire in the first place? I could have perfected my life because Narad Muni had given me, Prabhupada writes in the purport that, you know, this mantra that Narad Muni had given him, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, that is a Narayan mantra, that is a Vishnu mantra. And just by focusing one's mind on that, you know, instruction of Narad Muni, he could have perfected his life then and there. But Dhruv Maharaj laments that he still continued having this desire. Another example where Lord protects his devotee from economic crisis is of the Sudama Brahman. And it is mentioned that Sudama Brahman, he didn't even have that desire of approaching the Lord for his economic betterment. But then the wife of Sudama, she is mentioning, Tam upaihi mahabhaga sadhunam cha parayanam dashyati dravinam bhuri sidate te kutumbine. O fortunate one, please approach him. So she is encouraging her husband. For, she says the reason, for he is the real shelter of all saints. Sadhunam cha parayanam. He will certainly give you abundant wealth to such a suffering householder as you. So yes, the Shastras mentioned that, don't you worry. People who had been in an economic crisis, Krishna even helped them. And the next example is present, how people were in existential crisis. There are a lot of examples in this particular aspect. But then, talking about existential crisis, the best example that could come in my mind was the example of Gajendra. How Gajendra, he was caught in this situation wherein his leg was being caught by this crocodile. And he had been fighting for a long period of time to get out. But then finally he realized that it's not going to be fruitful just based on my own capability. Maybe I need the help of the Supreme Lord. And that is when Gajendra, he speaks out his realization. So Gajendra uvacha, Namam ime gyataya aturam gajaha. Kutah karinya prabhavanti mochitam ग्राहेण पाशेन विधातुरावृतौ अप्यहं च तं यामि परम्परायणम्. सो गजेंद्र इज सेइंग द अदर एलिफेंट्स हु आर माय फ्रेंड्स एंड रिलेटिव्स कुड नॉट रेस्क्यू मी फ्रॉम दिस डेंजर. वॉट देन टू स्पीक ऑफ माई वाइव्स, दे कैनॉट डू एनीथिंग. इट इज बाय द विल ऑफ प्रोविडेंस दैट आई हैव बीन अटैक्ड बाय दिस क्रोकोडाइल एंड देयरफोर आई शैल सीक शेल्टर ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हु इज ऑलवेज द शेल्टर ऑफ एवरी वन, even of great personalities. So yes, definitely Gajendra herein was in such an existential crisis. His life was at threat. His existence was at threat. But when he took shelter of the Supreme Lord, definitely the Supreme Lord, he appears in his on Garuda and with his Sudarshan Chakra, he cuts off the head of the crocodile and saves Gajendra. Another beautiful example wherein the Supreme Lord saved another of his great devotee is the example of Parikshit Maharaj himself. How Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of Uttara and all the sons of Draupadi have been killed, and Ashwatthama, he realizes that the only heir to the Pandavas now is within the womb of Uttara, and therefore Ashwatthama releases this severe Brahmastra. And when Uttara comes to know that this Brahmastra has been aimed at her womb, Uttara takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. And that is when the Supreme Lord, he himself, you know, takes his, appears within the womb of Uttara in the little form, the size of a thumb, with a golden helmet and yellow silken dhoti. And with his beautiful form, he protects, he's encircling the child Parikshit within the womb and protects Parikshit Maharaj himself, saving Parikshit Maharaj from the Brahmastra that was hurled by Ashwatthama. So yes, definitely Gajendra is saved from such an existential crisis. Parikshit Maharaj is saved from existential crisis. What else does the Supreme Lord save his devotees from? The next thing that the Supreme Lord saves, the next experience that the Supreme Lord has is in saving his devotees from enemies. What kind of enemies? We see in the Bal Leela of Lord Krishna how Kamsa, practically every day he was sending out these demons. And these demons were so, you know, fearful that all the Vrajvasis, they were very terrified when, you know, Keshi would attack, when Arishtasura would attack, when, you know, Bakasura would attack. But then Krishna, with a very, in his own unique ways, without using any weapons, you know, Krishna would finish off all these demons and mitigate the anxiety of the, you know, Vrajvasis. Yes, definitely all these demons were like the enemies of the Vrajvasis, and Krishna saved them from the harassment of these demons. Another example is that how Krishna saves these 16,000 young ladies from the captivity of Bhaumasura. How Bhaumasura had these ladies, the daughters of different kings, in his captivity. But then Krishna goes and kills Bhaumasura and saves them. In fact, one of the purposes of descent of Krishna, as he mentions in the Gita, is Vinashaya cha Duskritam. People who have this inimical tendency, this duskriti, the purpose of Krishna's appearance is to, you know, annihilate such people with such a inimical mentality. And we see how even for the Pandavas, Krishna was always present with the Pandavas, trying to save them, you know, from the Lakshagraha, trying to save them from the poisoned cake, from the and the great Mahabharata war. How Krishna repeatedly he saved his devotees from different, you know, enemies. But all of these enemies can be considered as external enemies. Krishna doesn't just save his devotees from external enemies. He also saves his devotees from internal enemies. In the conversation that happens between Rukmini and Krishna, when Krishna is teasing Rukmini Devi, and Rukmini Devi faints, but then Krishna, he lifts her up, and then Rukmini Devi, she presents different counter arguments that how whatever allegations Krishna had been mentioning, how each of those allegations doesn't actually make sense. So one of those allegations that Krishna mentioned, that, you know, Krishna is saying that we unnecessarily had created enmity with great kings, with big time kings. And Rukmini Devi is, you know, giving a counteraction for this allegation of Krishna. And Rukmini Devi is saying that actually the greatest enemy of a living being is his conditioned mind and his uncontrolled senses. She is saying, Nityam kad indriya gane krita vigrahastvam. So here Srimati Rukmini Devi points out that it is the material senses which are actually powerful in this world. The Supreme Lord has taken up the battle against sense gratification on the part of his devotees. And thus, he is constantly trying to help them in their struggle for spiritual purity. Srila Prabhupada writes this in the purport, that how the Supreme Lord, he is so compassionate to the living entity that he realizes that there is a big battle that is going on between the mind of the conditioned soul and with his, you know, desires for sense gratification, the material senses. And therefore, the Supreme Lord, he joins the side of the living entity and he helps them win this battle against the material senses. And it is mentioned, amongst all the internal enemies, the enemy of false ego is the most acute, is the most severe. And through his pastime of chastising Kaliya, where Kaliya had this intense amount of false ego, thinking himself to be the proprietor, controller and enjoyer of the, you know, part of Yamuna where he was residing, Krishna so beautifully, by performing such a beautiful dance on the holds of Kaliya, Krishna ultimately subdued the false ego of Kaliya and helped him realize that how, you know, this false ego is the greatest enemy of the living being. And through this pastime, Krishna demonstrated that how he is there to annihilate the false ego of those who surrender unto him. So yes, talking about the enemies, and it is mentioned that even, we'll move on to the next part. Apart from saving his devotees from economic crisis, saving his devotees from existential crises, from the enemies, he also saves his devotees from embarrassments. And the beautiful example is of Draupadi. How Draupadi, Mahabharata describes this episode in great detail, that when the Pandavas lost Draupadi in that gambling match, and the messenger is sent to fetch Draupadi, first of all, Draupadi is surprised. You know, how can you know, someone stake his wife? This is just not possible. You know, the king is definitely intoxicated, she says. So she is surprised, first of all. Then she says, she becomes angry at the messenger. She says, go and ask the king, that is he still my lord? You are mentioning that after losing everything, he put me at stake. But then after losing everything, you know, he is no more my lord. So how, he doesn't have right over me. So Draupadi is angry over that messenger. But then she starts feeling compassionate on the messenger. She feels that definitely this is the will of providence. Such a thing can only be arranged by the will of providence. And feeling compassionate upon the messenger, she asks him, go and tell to the Pandavas that whatever is their desire, I am ready to obey that desire. But then very soon she finds that the messenger doesn't return. In fact, here is Dushasan, who has walked inside her chamber. And seeing Dushasan, she is very much fearful. She is very fearful and she starts running to the quarters of Gandhari, Mahabharata describes. So here we see how Draupadi is going through such emotional turmoil. First of all, she is surprised, then she is angry, feeling compassionate, then feeling fearful. And then finally, Dushasan catches her by the hair and she remembers how this, you know, beautiful hair had been sanctified by the purified waters of the Rajasuya sacrifice. And, you know, when Dushasan is dragging her by the hair, she is just piteously crying. And she comes to the assembly of the, you know, Kurus, and then she is having hope Maybe because of the presence of these great elders, Dhritarashtra is present, Bhishma is present, Vidura is present. Maybe some of these great personalities will come to my rescue. She has some hope. But then, very soon, she realizes that there is no use having hope in even these so-called great personalities. And then the last resort she tries is trying to hold her own, you know, with her own strength, she tries to protect herself. But even that fails before the strength of Dushasan. And then finally, she prays to the Supreme Lord and, you know, she seeks shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna himself. And the rest is history, as we know that how the Supreme Lord appears. He was in Dwarka with Rukmini Devi playing dice. And when he was aware of Draupadi trying all these different means, how she had been trying to take shelter of all other things other than Krishna himself. Krishna had been waiting. But as soon as she raised her hand in acute helplessness, Krishna at once manifested in that assembly and provided this unlimited amount of cloth and saved her from embarrassment. You know, in one of the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada compares this embarrassment that how in this material world, the living being is constantly embarrassed in his plans to become the enjoyer. Prabhupada writes this, the summary of the 14th chapter of the 5th canto, the forest of material existence. Srila Prabhupada is writing in the summary of this chapter that this material world is simply an embarrassment and is composed of tribulations presented as happiness, distress, attachment, enmity and envy. On the whole, it is simply full of tribulations and misery. The time factor, which is like a serpent, takes away everyone's life, including that of Lord Brahma and the insignificant ant. Sometimes the conditioned soul tries to save himself from the inexorable time and thus takes shelter of some bogus savior. Unfortunately, the bogus savior cannot save even himself. How then can he protect others? So here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that how the living being in the material world is constantly embarrassed by all these aspects of material distress, the aspects of happiness, distress, attachment, enmity and envy. But then, unless and until the living being takes shelter of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Sri Krishna himself, he'll not be saved from this embarrassment. And the last is how the Lord also saves his devotees from the entanglement of material life. So Devahuti is praying to Lord Kapila. This is from the 3rd canto, 25th chapter. She's mentioning, Devahuti speaks, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet because you are the only person of whom to take shelter. You are the axe which can cut the tree of material existence. I therefore offer my obeisances unto you, who are the greatest of all transcendentalists. I inquire from you as to the relationship between man and woman and between spirit and matter. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Devahuti, she wanted to get out of conditional life and place herself in full surrender. The Lord is Sharanya, which means the only worthy personality to whom one can fully surrender, because he is full of all opulences. If anyone actually wants relief, the best course, very important, Prabhupada is giving the sutra, the clue here, that if anyone actually wants relief, not pretending to be wanting relief, if anyone actually wants relief, the best course is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is why Krishna, he also gives this assurance that, you know, if you put aside all other shelters in your life and take shelter of me alone, sarva dharmana parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. You need not worry about anything else. This is the assurance that is presented by the Krishna, by Krishna himself in the Gita. So again, hearing about these instances from the Shastras, the sulking, the sad living entity might feel that, yes, you know, definitely Krishna has a lot of experience in saving his devotees from all these different types of situations. But then, is it that his demands will be very high if I seek his shelter? What will he ask from me in return? That is the next question of the living being. So the expectation in the typical resume, it is the cost to company, it is mentioned. The CTC, what is the expected CTC? So the conditioned soul is asking that if I take the help of the Supreme Lord, what is he that he is going to charge me in return? And the Shastras say, don't you worry. The expected CTC is very low. There are two aspects to this expectations. The Supreme Lord aspects has twofold expectations from the living being. One is the tangible expectation. The tangible expectation is very low. He just wants some fruit, some leaves, some flowers and some water. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. That's it. This is just a tangible expectation. But then there is a bit of intangible expectation also that the Supreme wants from you, that Krishna expects from you. And what is that intangible expectation? That intangible expectation is of faith. Having faith, only when one has faith in the protection of the Supreme Lord, one can, you know, expect the mercy, one can expect the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And this is demonstrated in the pastime where Krishna and his cowherd boys, they are enjoying in the forest of Brajbhumi, and all of a sudden they find themselves surrounded by this great forest fire. And the cowherd friends of Krishna, they are very much fearful, and they approach Krishna as in any other types of danger, they approach Krishna. And what is the condition that Krishna puts before them? Krishna just says that, you know, don't worry, this situation will be solved, but I need all of you to just close your eyes. Now this closing of the eyes is explained by the Shastras is the expectation of Krishna from the cowherd boys of putting that aspect of faith in the protection of Krishna. None of the cowherd boys, they questioned Krishna, come on, you know, there is such a huge danger out here and you are asking us to just, you know, close our eyes. But, you know, they had that faith in the protection of Krishna. And instantly they just closed all of their eyes, and Krishna, we know that how he swallowed that entire forest. Similarly, through this particular pastime, Krishna demonstrates that he has the capability to swallow the entire forest, the burning fire in the forest of material existence, in the life of his devotees. Only and only if the devotee puts his faith in the protection of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, the Hari Bhakti Vilas mentions, Rakshishyati Vishwaso. One should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. So that is the expectation, the tangible and the intangible expectation. And the last part is the reference. So the conditioned soul asks, okay, one last question. So here the conditioned soul is now accusing the Shastras only. I know that you are the words of the Supreme Lord himself. You are on the part of the Supreme, so definitely you will present his case. You know, I want some instances, some examples where someone like me, some person of this world, is, you know, referring Krishna as the ultimate shelter. So in that regard, it is presented that, yes, as regards, you know, people who have lived in this world and who have experienced the shelter of Krishna, and those who propagate the shelter of Krishna, all the great acharyas, you know, their compositions, the compositions of the great acharyas, their, you know, expressions of their testimony of the in the protection of the Supreme Lord is as good as the Shastric version themselves. And therefore we have the example of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who in one of his prayers, one of his compositions, Ekhona Bujino Prabhu, he sings this beautiful four lines. We'll end up with this. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he prays, Je Pada Lagiya Rama, তপস্যা করিলা যে পদ পাইয়া শিব শিবত্ব লাভিলা যে পদ লাভিয়া ব্রহ্মা কৃতার্থ হইলা যে পদ নারদ মুনি হৃদয়ে ধরিলা। সো ভক্তি বিনোদ ঠাকুর ইজ প্রেইং, লক্ষ্মী দেবী ডিজাইরিং আ প্লেস অ্যাট ইয়োর লোটাস ফিট এক্সিকিউটেড অস্টেরিটিস। দিজ আর দি রেফারেন্সেস প্রেজেন্টেড বাই দি আচার্যস দ্যাট হাউ দিজ গ্রেট পার্সনালিটিস, লক্ষ্মী দেবী হারসেলফ সিকিং দি অ্যাসোসিয়েশন অফ কৃষ্ণ, শি পারফর্মড দিজ অস্টেরিটিস। অনলি আফটার সিকিউরিং এ প্লেস বাই ইয়োর লোটাস ফিট ডিড লর্ড শিবা অটেন হিজ শিবত্ব অর দি কোয়ালিটি অফ অসপিশিয়াসনেস। আপন অবটেনিং দোজ ফিট লর্ড ব্রহ্মা বিকেম সাকসেসফুল ইন লাইফ and the great sage Narad Muni held those two feet to his heart. So these are the references of these great personalities that are presented by the acharyas. And just to conclude, it is mentioned the in the Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are a couple of verses which explain that out of the 10 topics that are discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first nine topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are put in the category of Ashrita or the dependents who are seeking shelter. Just like the conditioned soul, we are seeing the example of the conditioned soul here who is wanting some shelter to come out of the ocean of material misery. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that out of the 10 topics discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam, the first nine topics discuss the Ashrita Tattva or the dependents who require shelter, but the 10th topic describes the Ashraya Tattva, the object who provides that shelter. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that this is the transcendence. So he explains about the Ashraya Tattva. What is this Ashraya Tattva? This is the transcendence, the Samam Bonam, from whom everything emanates, upon whom everything rests, and in whom everything merges after annihilation. He is the source and support of all. Sri Krishna is that Ashraya, and therefore, again, a masterpiece. Srila Prabhupada's masterpiece here. Sri Krishna is this ashraya, and therefore the greatest necessity of life is to study the science of Krishna. With those words, we'll end up here. Just to summarize all that we have been discussing, we started with discussing how the living being is in such a miserable condition in this material existence, and being in ignorance, he is trying a variety of options for relief. He is trying out the options of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And finally, the shastras present give him the final word that accept Krishna as your supreme shelter. And that is when the conversation begins. You know, tell me more about this person. And the shastras present this entire profile of Krishna, how Krishna has provides the introduction of Krishna, who is Krishna, the position of Krishna, the qualifications, the qualities and capabilities of Krishna is presented in the introduction. Thereafter, the qualification of Krishna to provide shelter, how Krishna is omnipotent and omnipresent, the proximity and the potency of Krishna is discussed. Thereafter, the experience of Krishna in providing shelter to his devotees, that is discussed by the Shastras, how Krishna has protected his devotees from economic crisis. We saw the example of Dhruva and Sudama Brahman, how Krishna saves his devotees from existential crisis. The example of Gajendra is there. From the enemies, we saw the example of the Vrajvasis and the ladies held in captivity of Bhaumasura. And not just the external enemies, but also the internal enemies which the living entity is struggling with, the material senses. We saw the example of Rukmini Devi. She is speaking about that. And the Supreme Lord saves his devotees from embarrassments. We saw the example of Draupadi and the example of the living being himself. And thereafter, the entanglement, how Devahuti, she is attesting to this fact that definitely you are the supreme shelter who can protect me from the entanglement of material life. And further, the expectation, what does the Supreme Lord expect? We discussed two expectations, the tangible expectation, very little, just some, you know, whatever may be present at your disposal, some leaf, flower, fruit or water. But then the intangible expectation of faith, that is what Krishna demands. And the references from the Acharyas, we saw how Goddess Lakshmi, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Narad Muni, all of these personalities, they have also taken shelter and they have also benefited in a big way by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. And we hope and pray that when we hear this, these presentations by the Shastras, maybe we can also take this profile of Krishna seriously and contemplate on this profile and, you know, put ourselves in the shoes of, you know, the conditioned soul that we have been discussing and leave no stone unturned in taking shelter of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Sri Krishna Himself. Jai Sri Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana Ki Jai. His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.